I'm starting the archive here a little bit late. We've been doing other stuff unrelated to the central topics of this class. But what I want to do is pray for us. I want to do a short Bible study, and then we're going to jump into the pastoral epistles. So let me pray for us, and we'll begin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and time together. We pray for your blessings on us all, especially as we come closer and closer to the end of the school year with exams, with thesis presentations, with everything that goes along with all of that. For many of these students wrapping up high school and moving on to the next phase of life, we pray that you would guide our steps in all these things, that you would help us to work faithfully and wisely, that you would help us to bring you glory and to advance your kingdom in the world, to play our part in living as faithful disciples and discipling the nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, give me just a second here. All right, let's do this. It is getting close to the end of the year for a lot of you. This is a transitional time of life. Many of you've got thesis presentations coming up. There's a lot of things to worry about, right? A lot of things to get stressed out about if you allow yourself to get worried, to get worked up in that way. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. I want to spend just a few minutes on this passage. This is this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, obviously, which is Jesus. It's really the most comprehensive sermon from Jesus that we have. And he addresses a lot of different issues throughout this sermon. But one of my favorite sections is this one that deals with worry. And so let me read for us, starting in Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, let's talk about worry for just a minute. Do any of y'all know the Far Side comic strip? Not really a comic strip, it was usually just one block. Yeah, I'm kind of dating myself here. I mean, The Far Side was popular when I was a kid. I don't know when it went away. Gary Larson was the creator of The Far Side, and I think he's long since retired. But anyway, he would have these really kind of funny one-block comics. You can go look them up online and see. Sometimes they were a little bit esoteric and hard to grasp. But one of them that has stuck with me through the years is, and I want to pull this up. I saved a screenshot of this. You can see, in fact, I should have put this on so you can see it. Maybe I can do that. It's a picture of, let's just see. I don't know if I can screen share this, but I'm going to try. Okay, let me just see if it'll let me screen share. Ah, yes, there we go. Okay, there we go. And I don't know if you can read that or not. Depends on how big it is for your computer. But you can see you got a couple pilots in an airplane, and one of them says to the other, the fuel light's on, Frank. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Wait. Oh, my mistake. That's the intercom light. Okay. Yeah, I think this is a great metaphor for what a lot of our worries are really like. We think that the fuel light is on and we've run out of fuel and we're going to crash. And it actually turns out it's just the intercom light, you know, some stewardess trying to, you know, ask a question or something. No big deal. Not anything to worry about at all. So many of the things we worry about are not really worth worrying about. They're not things that are going to happen or really ever could happen. But we spend our time, we waste our time worrying about things that are really non-entities. And I think that's a comfort. I mean, that's one way to push back against worry is to say, you know what? I am worried about such and such, you know, I'm worried about X, Y, and Z, but how likely is X, Y, and Z? How likely are those things to ever happen? Think about how many things you have worried about that never came to pass. Okay, you might have been worried that that stomach ache was actually a tumor, okay, and it wasn't, okay? You might have been worried about, you know, what the school year was going to be like, the first day of class, and it turned out that everything went fine. And you had great teachers, and you did well in your class with your grade, and you made some new friends, you know, so this thing you were so worried about turned out to be nothing. Or you worry about getting to your destination safely and when you make it, okay? How many things do we worry about that never come to pass? I would say probably a lot. Most of the things we worry about never come to pass, and that's important to recognize. But that's not true of everything. Sometimes bad things do come to pass. Okay, sometimes those things we're most worried about or stressed about or fearful of do come to pass. Sometimes the headache does turn out to be caused by a brain tumor. Okay, sometimes you know you're worried about your good friend making it to your house safely, and sometimes fatal car accidents do happen. Okay, so we can't make worry go away. Yeah, that's a good quote, Sam. Don't worry about tomorrow. After all, today was the day you worried about yesterday. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, so we can deal with some of our worries by telling ourselves that these things will not come to pass, but that doesn't cover everything. And so we really need a better game plan. We need a better strategy for dealing with worry. So we need to ask, what does that look like? What's it really look like to deal with worry? Yeah, I like that Corey Ten Boom quote. I mean, it's kind of like the Billy Graham quote. I mean, they're both really good. What I would say is what Jesus gives us here is that better strategy. It is that better game plan for dealing with worry. What are some things that you see here that allow you to deal with worry? Some things that Jesus says here that kind of help you to push back against worry in your life, address those worries, refute those worries. Who wants to take a stab at that? What are some things you see here? Okay, God's in control and He cares about us. Yeah, one of the big arguments here is that God, this is what Jesus is teaching us, God is our Heavenly Father, and like a good Heavenly Father, He will take care of our basic needs. You don't need to worry about food, clothing, shelter, because He knows you need those things already. He knows what your basic needs are, and He can provide for you. In fact, I find it really, really interesting. He gives several arguments here along those lines. He says, look, consider the lilies, how they grow, okay? Or, you know, and not even Solomon was arrayed as beautiful as they were. You look at the birds of the air, okay? God takes care of them. He feeds them. The Psalms talk about that as well. Okay, so as a loving Heavenly Father, God will take care of your needs. He will provide for you. That's what fathers do. Now, I will step in here and say this does not preclude our work. When Jesus says that the lilies don't toil or spin, that doesn't mean that you don't ever have to do any work and God will just take care of you. The point is, you should not in your working think think that everything depends upon that, that everything depends upon how hard you can work. That's a great recipe for working yourself to death. Okay, you do need to work and you do need to plan. Jesus says, do not worry. He never says, do not work. Jesus says, do not worry. He never says, do not plan. Planning and working are good things, but we should not worry when we do those things. We should not engage in our work in a worrisome spirit or engage in our planning in a worrisome spirit. Okay. So that's important to keep in mind. Other things that you see here, other things that you see in this text. It's interesting how a little further on he contrasts that towards the end of the passage with the Gentiles, that the Gentiles seek after these things. They seek after these necessities and luxuries. Okay. And they seek after these things as an end in themselves. They worry about them. They obsess over them. And they have to because they don't have a God. They don't have a heavenly Father they can trust. That's really the point of verse 32. The Gentiles seek for these things. Okay, they seek after these things. They seek first food, clothing, and so forth. I mean, that's what they're obsessed with. Okay. But it's not so for the people of God, and it's not so for us because we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, who looks after us, who shepherds us, who knows our needs, and who is committed to taking care of us, okay? And so we don't seek first food, clothing, and shelter. We seek first the kingdom of God. Now, when we seek the kingdom of God, you know, that means we've got a higher purpose we're living for, and that also means that we can go without luxuries and even go without necessities if that would advance God's kingdom purpose. You can go without food, clothing, and shelter if it serves God's kingdom purposes, if it will advance God's kingdom, because that's what you're seeking first. Now, ordinarily, God's going to give you all those things as well when you seek first his kingdom. That's what Jesus says here, okay? But here's the thing. The goodness of God, the generosity of God has to be the absolute bedrock upon which you build your life. That's what makes stress melt away. That's what makes stress melt away. When you build your life on the absolute bedrock foundation of God's goodness. That's what, knowing that God will take care of you, you know, the way Peter puts it, he says, cast your cares upon God for he cares for you. Okay, or the way Martin Luther put it, he said, pray and then let God worry. Well, of course, God has no worries at all. Martin Luther was being hyperbolic and sarcastic when he said that. But the point is, pray, hand your concerns over to God, and then know that he's going to deal with them as he sees fit. And that's all you need to know. Okay. Verse 27 is also important. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? Worrying doesn't make you any greater or better. It's not as if you worry about something, it strengthens you so that you can now handle whatever it is you're worried about on your own. Worry doesn't have that kind of power. It's not that kind of force in our lives. Just the opposite, in fact. Worry makes you weaker. Okay? Worry weakens you. Okay? And that's what you have to keep in mind, that worry will actually dilute your strength. Jesus says, who by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? So think about this. Think about like a football team that's in a game, and they fall way behind in the first half of the game. And then they come back in the second half, and they're able to mount this incredible comeback, and they end up winning the game. And then think about what the winning side, what those players will say when they get interviewed after the game. Okay, and reporters will ask questions like, so what allowed you to turn it around? How, you know, you guys were so far behind in the first half. How did you come back? How did you do it? Okay, I've never heard a player after a big comeback say, you know, it's really because we got worried. We got worried about the score, and that's what really allowed us to turn things around. Okay, I've never heard any player after a great comeback attribute his success to worry. You know, in that third quarter, when we were down 4 touchdowns, we really started to worry, and worry pulled us through. You know, thanks to worry, we were able to come back and win the game. Okay? No, that's not, worry doesn't do that. It doesn't add one cubit to your stature. It doesn't make you any stronger or better. It just doesn't have that kind of effect. Okay, in fact, it's just the opposite. Okay, the opposite of worry. Worry is when you look at the future and you freak out about it. Okay, I have a test coming out, and you know, test coming up, and you freak out about it. I've got a thesis presentation, a speech coming out, and you say, I'm freaked out about that. You know, I'm just obsessed and worried and scared and fearful over that. You know, or worry is when you say, you know, there could be a stock market crash and we could lose everything. I'm freaked out about that. Okay, that's what worry is. It's looking at the future and freaking out. What the opposite of that kind of worry is hope. Hope is when you look at the future and you are serene and you're peaceful because you know the future is in God's hands. And so you don't have to freak out about the future. You can rest easy. You can be confident. Again, you're going to plan. You're going to work. But you're going to do those things in a spirit of hope, not a spirit of worry. Okay. One last point I'll make here, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This kind of goes back to the quotations that we had in the chat box from Billy Graham and Corey Ten Boom. Every day has enough problems of its own. You don't need to start worrying about tomorrow's problems today. Don't borrow trouble. Don't add to today's troubles by focusing on tomorrow's troubles or what could be tomorrow's troubles. I think that's really what he's saying here. When you borrow tomorrow's troubles today, what happens is you have to pay it all back with interest. Okay. Oh, yeah, if you can find that, Micah, that'd be great. I'd love to see that quote. That's not one that comes to my mind. So don't worry about tomorrow. Okay. So when we went through Ecclesiastes, what did we say? I used lines like, live the life that unfolds before you from Jonathan Rogers. Or do the next thing from Elizabeth Elliot. That's really what Jesus is saying here. The task is the task at hand. The task is the task at hand. And that's what you've got to keep in mind. And that's what will help you. When you come, you know, whenever you're encountering something that is something that could be an occasion for worry, these are the things you have to keep in mind. These are the things you want to be focused on. The goodness of God, the fact that worry gets you nowhere, does you no good, so drive out worry with hope, a sure and confident hope based on God's promises and God's control, okay? And know that, hey, what are you supposed to focus on? You're not supposed to spend your energy worrying about what might happen tomorrow. Do the work God has given you to do today. That's really the point. All right? Any questions, thoughts, comments on that?